Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you and exalt you, Lord. It is for you that I have called to this hour. Yes, as a spirit of grace, for in these last days I'm doing something quick. I'm doing a quick work within my children. For those who are able to receive my grace, I will impart what's necessary to take you forward into my spirit, into my ways, to take you the next step further. There will be impartations of grace for those who reach out by their faith and grab hold. So release your faith and receive that which I am attempting to release unto you, says the Lord. For if you can grab a hold of that which I am doing, you will take leaps and bounds forward instead of small steps, for I am growing and maturing my saints at an exponential rate for those who can receive my grace. For my grace is sufficient for you, and my grace is not weakness, but my grace is your strength. For I have told you to come unto my throne of grace, to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. So ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door to my realms of the Spirit will be opened. For there are many doors in me. There are many realms in me that I long to take my children higher. But you must reach out with your faith, and you must hunger and thirst for righteousness. For it is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness that shall be filled, says the Spirit of grace. For there are many of my children that have gone away empty. They've gone away with mental assent to a desire that they would long to have, but they have not had the true hunger that comes only from praying in my spirit. They have not had the true hunger and desire for the gifts of the Spirit to receive from my throne, says the Lord. And if my children would humble themselves and pray, they would receive the equipment that is necessary to do what I have called them to do. He said, it's not until my children surrender their hearts to me, longing only for me and longing only to fulfill what I've called them to do on a personal level, that they are truly submitted to my will. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. For there are many who are submitted to a will, but it is not my will. They are submitted to their will. They're submitted to their own plans, to their own things that they plot, that they scheme, not only in a sinful sense, but also in a sense of serving self, a sense of serving, but not serving me, says the Lord, not serving my church, not serving the saints, what is necessary for them to be served so they can grow and mature. For there's many callings and many gifts that have been neglected in these last days, and they will stand account. For I've taken note of their actions, I've taken note of their decisions, and the things that they've left, the things of the Spirit to follow their own plans. And I have taken note, and these things have been taken into account. If my body would only humble themselves and repent from complacency. For you do not view things the way that I view things, says the Spirit of grace. For complacency is wickedness in my eyes. For I am holy. I'm a holy God. I am holy and pure. And my children are to imitate me, says the Lord. For it's those who are holy that will see me, says the Lord. So stir up the desire by praying in my spirit. Stir up the desire for the things of my spirit and make them the forefront of your very day, of everything that you do. For I've told you to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I've told you to earnestly covet that which is from my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. For it is when you earnestly desire the gifts of my Spirit that you will see them begin to manifest. You should hunger. You should long to see the manifestation of my glory and my power until it comes to pass. You should relentlessly pursue my throne. Drop to your knees. Bow down. Lay prostrate. Hold my heart in your hands and not let go until you see those things that I've described in my word start to begin to manifest through your vessel, says the Lord. For I've chosen you to be my temple. I've chosen you to be my vessels to use. So make yourself useful by letting go of the things of this world that so hinder and the sin that so easily entangles. Let go of those things that stand between you and I, says the Lord. For there's many things that stand between you and I that you cannot see. For it's only those who are sensitive to my word that can see clearly. Many can see here, they can see there, they can see a little, but they cannot see that which I've called them to see. For I've given you what is necessary to for I have given you what is necessary to impart to you eyes to see. I have given you what is necessary for you to develop your spirits up in me. And as you build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in my spirit, you will build yourself up in holiness and purity, and it will release me to use you as a channel, to use you as a vessel that I can more effectively flow my power through. For there's many skeptics. There's many skeptics, not only in this world, but there's many skeptics who sit in what they claim to be my churches and they still try to analyze the move of the Spirit. They still try to question the things that I do by the Spirit. For there's many things that I've done that humanity has said is unusual or weird. But my ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And those things that people have called weird, those things that people were not willing to receive as a result of their minds not being transformed to the things that my mind has for them. For I have things in mind for them, but they must recognize that which is true and reject that which is not. For many minds are still fallen. Yes, says the Spirit, even many of those who are truly saved, minds are still fallen and need to be transformed, not only to my word, but also to the move of my Spirit, so they can recognize and discern that which is true and reject that which is evil. For I have given you that which is necessary that you can be the judge. But what I have given has been greatly neglected by the body, says the Lord. For I'm calling to you again, and I will continue to call out. For I do not grow weary and I faint not. And my spirit longs. My spirit jealously longs for that which I've placed within you. For you are mine and I am yours. And we are to walk as one. So many are trying to arouse my jealousy by replacing fellowship with me through having relationships with things that do not produce, having relationships with temporal things that do not produce the move of my spirit. There's many who have relationships, but the relationships is not strong with me, says the Lord. There's many who call out to me in their troubles. There's many who call out to me when they're ailments. There's many who call out to me and they're lax. But my word has revealed to you why these calamities come upon, yes, even those in my body. For it is because of disobedience. If my church would only humble themselves and fully obey, they would see the blessings that I have in store for them come to pass. Yes, for I have many blessings. My storehouses cannot be exhausted. And that which is eternal cannot wear out, says the Lord. For I have many blessings. I have prepared a table before you that you cannot describe with your carnal mind. It must be something that your minds are transformed to. I have prepared something for you that is so great, such a great reward, that has been neglected as a whole. So I say, come and eat. I say, open up the door, for I'm already knocked. And why are you waiting? Why would you neglect such a great salvation that I've prepared for you? Why would you run after things that do not produce when I've given you the equipment that you can run to my throne to receive it, to go forth and produce, to bring in that harvest, says the Lord. For there's a great and mighty harvest right before your very eyes, and so many overlook. So many listen to the tactics of the enemy. So many listen to his voice, tell them they won't listen, they won't hear. So many are looking to be led when I have told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everything in creation. So open up your mouths and step out by faith and see that I will confirm my word with signs following. And I will do what I have told you through my name. For it's the name that I have given you that releases me to move. It is that name that represents all that has been done on Calvary for you. It is that name that releases the authority into this planet for me to do which I've called you to do. So use the name that is above all names, the name that is higher, for I am the most high. I am above all. I am the Lord of all, and I am the Almighty. And as you use that name, there is nothing in all creation that will not submit to that name. Whether in this age or in the age to come, says the Spirit. For there's so many in this generation that are committing adultery with the world. They have forsaken their first love. They have not considered the height from which they've fallen, and they say, I'm okay. I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. But they do not realize that they are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And I counsel unto you to buy for me gold purified in the fire so that you can become rich, and salve to put in your eyes so that you can see, and white clothes, garments to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. For it is those whom I love, whom I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent, for I am ready to spit you out in your complacency and your lack of desire for the things of my Spirit's fire, says the Lord. So wake up. Be alert. Be self-controlled and look around at the signs of the times. How is it that people cannot recognize the signs? How is it that people are blinded to what is right before their very eyes and cannot recognize that my coming is soon at hand, and yet they still sleep? Yet they still wait for something to happen when I have commanded them in my word to step forth by faith and make something happen. For it's those who make something happen who will receive my reward. It's those who go forth and do what I've told them to do who will have the reward that I've prepared for them, says the Spirit of Grace. For there's great reward for them. They will receive the crown of righteousness that will never fade away. They will sit with me on my throne and rule and reign. just as I sat down with my Father on His throne. They will receive the scepter of my kingdom to rule and reign with me forever. But those who neglect my salvation, those who consider the things of this temporal world more important than the things of my eternal kingdom, will have great regret on that day. For it is the flesh that holds them back. And I've given you power and authority. I've given you dominion. I've given you all the equipment. I've given you my Spirit. I've given you everything that you need pertaining to life and to godliness, says the Lord. I've given you everything that is necessary for you to go forth. So go forth and do not be wavering in faith. Do not be double-minded. Do not agree only with my word, but not act upon it. Do not rejoice in my word as if it is a beautiful love song, and that not go and do what it says. As if I'm singing a beautiful melody in your ears. You love to hear, you long, you say that you agree. But where are the actions that correspond with me, says the Lord? Surrender your whole heart. For it's full obedience that releases me to release my blessings into your life. It's full surrender to me. What good is it for you to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anybody is ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful generation, I will be ashamed of him when I come in my Father's glory with his holy angels, says the Lord. For there will be a separation in these last days between my true children and those who claim my name but are not acting upon my word. For there will be great persecution. And it is only those who are strong, who seek me with their whole hearts, who will be able to tap into the grace that is necessary to rejoice in those times, to lift up their voices and praise me, knowing that these things have come because of my word. For it's because of my word that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, says the Lord. For it's my word that is sown as a seed in a field that will produce a crop if you do not give up and you do not faint along the way. Consider that which I have forgiven you for. For there's many things from your past that I have forgiven you for. How can it be in your hearts that you do not release to me the bitterness and resentment that you harbor towards others, says the Lord? How can it be after I have released you from such an incredible debt that you hold on to and harbor thoughts and feelings towards those who've come up against you? How can it be after the incredible debt that you've been forgiven that you still hold on to unforgiveness and hinder me, says the Lord? Lord, we forgive everyone who's come up against us, Lord. Everyone who's spoken evil against us, Lord, we release them to you right now. I want everybody to just pray in your own words and just release anything you have against anybody, any bad harboring feelings, just release that to him right now. His word says that if we do not forgive, he cannot forgive us. Lord, we forgive the people who's hurt us, Lord. We ask you to forgive us for for harboring resentment and negative feelings towards people who've done things to us instead of just forgiving like you forgave us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace working in us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. We release those people, Lord. We forgive them by faith. Help us to consider what you've done for us, Lord. Help us to recognize and not forget what you've forgiven us for. For we are a wicked and adulterous people in the world, and you saved us not because of righteous things you've done, but because of your mercy. For when we were yet powerless, you died for the ungodly. You demonstrated your own love for us in this while we were still sinners. Christ died for us, Lord. We're so very thankful. We're so very grateful that you've, when we were unlovely, that you still took a step towards us. And when we were hopeless and helplessly lost, that you stepped towards us and you forgave us, even though we were completely unworthy in every way, filthy in your eyes, yet you still took a step towards us. Lord, help us to now respond to your love and step towards those that we have harbored feelings towards, and help us to make things right in your eyes. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. You're worthy. You know, he says in the Word, he says that when we are persecuted because of righteousness and when we're persecuted for the things of God, we're supposed to rejoice. And one of the reasons we do that is so we don't, as a storehouse, as a vessel that's going to be full, as a storehouse, as a vessel, that we don't harbor things inside of us that are not of God, like unforgiveness. We don't want to harbor negative feelings towards anyone else. And we also, when God is dealing with us to do something, we don't want to neglect that and put it on the shelf. And we want to be about our Father's business. When He asks us to do something, we don't want to put those things off. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33, God told Ezekiel that I am holding you accountable. He said, if I give you a message to warn someone and you do not warn him or don't speak the words that I give you, he said, their blood's on your head. You're responsible for it. He said, but if you do warn them and they reject your words and they don't receive that which you said, he said, their blood's on their own heads. So with that in mind, we need to consider that there'll be many times when God wants us to witness people and they will reject you. They will spit in your face sometimes. I just had a guy, I'd use this testimony because it happened this morning. I biked to church because we live close by. I had the guitar in my hand. And there was a man sitting by the bus stop, and I pulled in the parking lot, and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to take this couple minutes. I'm going to go witness to this guy. So I said to him, I invited him to church. And this man boldly and arrogantly said, "Where do you think that I'm going?" He said it just like that to me. I stopped and I thought to myself, well, if you're going to church, buddy, you shouldn't be talking to anybody like that, is what I thought. Because no Christian acts that way. He said, "You're probably a Jehovah Witness. Who do you think you are? You don't even know your Bible. You don't know where the Bible comes from." He said, "Do you know where the Bible comes from?" And at that moment I said, "You give God and everything He stands for a bad name," as he interrupted me and cursed me and called me all sorts of names. It's people like that that are going to have the most severe punishment in hell, because they give Christians like us who really believe in the Word a bad name. And he cursed me. I didn't say anything more that God brought to my remembrance. He said, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. So I immediately turned around and went away. I just told him that one thing. I said, "You give God and everything stands for a bad name," and I took off. And as I biked, I was halfway through this large parking lot, and he was still cursing at me, telling me I was stupid, I don't know anything, I'm an idiot, I'm lazy. He said all sorts of words against me. And that man was on his way to go preach in a church, a Catholic church. He says, when we witness, we're supposed to do so with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against our good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to... And I thought to myself, I thought even in my worst day after I first got born again, I have never, ever witnessed to anybody even anywhere near what that guy just did to me. I've never seen anything like it. And that is a sign of the times. When people, when the devil has used a vessel that thinks that they're a Christian and filled them with so much hatred that they can't even witness with love in their hearts, and they've got to curse people. And there's no question in my mind that he's cursed many before me. We need to, when we witness to people, when people don't receive it, the best thing to do is to walk away and pray for them. Don't ever get into an argument with anybody, family, just walk away. And don't be the one that has to say the last word either. Just let them have the last word. He said in the Word, he said, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong. Just let them. Let them go. He said, don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. God, he said, I will judge, I will repay, says the Lord. He said, therefore, when your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. When he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing, you'll heap burning coals on their head. We're supposed to love even the worst people. I've had people call me names to my face over the things of God multiple times. It doesn't bother me anymore. It hurts for a moment, but there comes a place when you're walking with Him where you just have to realize that these people don't realize what they're doing. Because it's not you that they're coming up against, it's Jesus Himself. He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, they will treat you this way because of my name, for they have not known my Father. When people act like that way, it's because they really actually don't know God. Not only did that man not even give me a chance to let him know that I'm a pastor across the street, and I was just asking him a question if he was born again. He says all Catholics are born again, which is not true. I get them saved all the time. He didn't even give me a chance to say a word, and he just had all these assumptions about me because I'm wearing a white shirt and a tie. He assumed that I'm a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. That's what he said to me. And I didn't even say, I never said anything to him. I just asked him if he's born again. That's it. Have you ever received Jesus as your Lord? And he acted like it was an insult that I would ever ask him anything. Can you imagine that? And that's how people claiming Christians are like that today. I've run into others too. That's not the only one. They're so arrogant when you try to witness to them. And that's a sign. I mean, true Christians do not act that way. I can guarantee you this, and listen very closely. When you witness to anyone, and they're not happy that you're witnessing to them, or they go, oh, praise God, yeah, I go to church here and there, they're not saved. You might as well, when they're rude to you in any way, or they try to walk away or get away from you, I can guarantee you that that person is either backslidden or not saved. I've never run into one that was truly saved. You can always recognize a tree by its fruit. When you witness to someone and they're like, oh, it's refreshing that you're out witnessing too. Or they say something like, yeah, I go to church up the street over here. Praise God. How long have you been saved? And they start a conversation revolving around God. That's your sign that they're saved. All this other religion that they tell you, at that point you need to, if they won't receive it, you need to walk away and pray that that person does get saved. Or you need to let them know the truth. If they're open to receive it. Because you can recognize a true believer. True believers are not rude to strangers. I can guarantee you that. I mean, most true believers that I know are very friendly when a stranger approaches them for any reason. Any reason at all. In fact, even if someone from a false religion approached a true believer, I don't know many of them, true believers, that would be rude back to them. They would try to present the gospel to them in a loving way, not in a way that's going to destroy the kingdom of God. And he said this, he said, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, through their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Titus 1:15-16. Paul said, I say this now even with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, their God is their stomach. Their destiny is destruction. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. So what he's really saying in context is when people claim the cross of Christ, they claim to be Christians, but their minds are still caught up in this world. Their actions will manifest to such a level that they show themselves to be an enemy of God. They can claim His name. They can call themselves a Christian. They can go to church. But if they're still so full of this world that everything they do screams that they're a hypocrite, then they really actually need to actually get saved, truly get saved. We don't want to be actors. And we want to be serious about the things of God. He talks about lukewarmness. In fact, I'll just read this to you because it's so relevant for today. If you have your Bible, you can open up to Revelation chapter 3, and I'll just read this with you. But he says this in verse 14, to the messenger and the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Would you agree that that's Jesus Himself? So Jesus is saying this, and this is what Jesus had to say about complacency and indifference. Complacency and indifference is not caring that people around you are going to hell. Complacency and indifference is going to church when I feel like it and everything else is more important than God. Complacency and indifference is you're very lukewarm and you really don't esteem the things of God high enough to sacrifice. To sacrifice your time or to sacrifice areas of your life for Him. We're supposed to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, He said. He said, in view of God's mercies, therefore, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It is a sacrifice to serve God. That's why He said to take up your cross daily. He didn't say to take up your cross when you feel like taking it up, but He did tell us that He commanded us that we're supposed to take it up and keep it up. Amen. We need to keep that cross on us. And what happens on a cross? We die. We die to our desires, and our desires are now exchanged for His desires. And it's His desires that will produce the manifestation of God through us so that we can receive the reward that He has planned for us. He's predestined this great reward for all of us. Amen? We need to do what's necessary to receive it. So now He says, in verse 15, I know your deeds. Now by this, we can recognize that Jesus knows what we're doing. Amen? Would you agree? I know your deeds, He says. In fact, the Amplified Version says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. He says this, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you are lukewarm, I wouldn't say lukewarm. Anybody ever put lukewarm water in your mouth? I mean, it's not very good, is it, on a cold day? He says, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, so this is what they believed about themselves, this particular church that he's talking to. He said, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So they were believing something about themselves. What they believed is, I'm okay. I'm okay walking in this lukewarmness. I'm not lukewarm, I'm hot. They believed that with their whole hearts. He says, you say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize, which means that the condition that they were actually in that Jesus is about to describe, they were absolutely clueless to it because they had seared their consciences. And that's possible for Christians to do. He said, but you don't realize. They didn't know it. They couldn't see this because they were blind. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That's the exact opposite of what they said. I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. He said, you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. And white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, which means it's a requirement for us to be willing to hear, like he says to all the churches, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you're willing to receive the correction, if you're willing to receive that which I've said, then you could hear it. But if you're going to reject it and still continue to believe that you're okay in the condition that you currently exist in, when you're actually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, you're not going to be able to hear it. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, notice that we have to open the door. If anyone hears my voice, if you're willing to hear his voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. That's a pretty good promise. To have Jesus, and what he's talking about there is close fellowship. In other words, if you will listen to my rebuke that I'm rebuking you because you're complacent and indifferent. He said, if you can hear that and you'll repent from it, you will open up the door for me to come in to your home, to your abode, to your vessel, to fill you with me so we're in close fellowship, walking as one like I've created you for, like I've predestined you to be. Now, something else I want you to recognize, that it's pretty obvious that their condition was complacency. Would you agree? But notice that he told them they needed to repent, which means in God's eyes, complacency and indifference to those going in hell around you, not even caring about it, that's a sin. And the reason it is, the real reason that it stems from is unbelief. And the reason that it's unbelief is because if people truly believed that those people around you are going to burn in hell forever if they're not born again, you would try to do something about it. Whether it be praying, fasting, giving, preaching, speaking to them, witnessing to them, whatever it is. Whatever way that you can be a vessel for God to use to fund the gospel or to preach the gospel, or to pray so that the gospel does go forth into the earth, whatever you can do, you'd be doing it if you truly believe. That's why people don't go to church. That's why people don't give. That's why people don't fast. That's why people don't get healed. That's why people don't obey God's word. It all stems from the most terrible sin of all, which is unbelief, which started way back there in the garden. Adam and Eve did not truly believe that when God said, if you eat from this tree, you will die, they didn't believe that would happen. If they believed it, they would have acted upon what God had said and not ate from that tree. Amen? So, let's do something about it. Amen? He said, and Jude said, we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith that was once entrusted for the saints. That's for all of us. We should be earnestly. That's wholeheartedly contending. In other words, we're supposed to do what is necessary to produce revival. And we've already taught in intricate detail that what will produce the revival that we're after is fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. Much fasting and prayer. Fasting is going without eating. It's that simple. You can do a juice fast. Where you just drink juice, it's possible to do something like that. Daniel ate no meat, nor drank any juice, and used no lotions for 21 days. That was a fast that he went on. There's many other fasts described in the Word. Jesus went on just a water fast for 40 days. It's possible to do that. I would consider consulting a doctor if you feel like God has led you to do that, and I would go multiple times during the fast to make sure you're still healthy. We're going to use our heads. But you could fast one meal out of the week. Most Christians won't even do that. But God's got a great blessing for those who do. There's a tremendous blessing if you will do that, because the reason we fast is because it draws us nearer to God, because it makes our flesh drop below the operation of our spirit, so we're more sensitive to the things of God. The same way, prayer builds our spirits up so we can rise our spirit man above the level of the operation of the flesh, so we become more sensitive to God. And when you combine the two, you're going to be a powerhouse for God going somewhere to happen if you keep it up for a long time. You cannot remain powerless if you consistently fast and pray. It's not going to happen. You are going to have more power than you're going to know what to do with over a period of time. You're going to have all sorts of power from God. But first, we need to humble ourselves and believe that it is necessary to fast and pray. People that walk around complaining about what's happening in the government, people that walk around complaining that I don't like so-and-so, and why are they doing this, and they don't like it, those people are going to have one strict judgment, especially if they're Christians, because He's commanded us to pray for those in authority, not to speak what is and not to curse them. It's a terrible sin. And it's people like that who constantly speak against those in authority who will be held responsible for what they did. If you're willing to hear it, hear it. Because I'm telling you right now, if you don't stop the cursing of Obama and those in authority, you will stand at the judgment and give an account for why you didn't pray and instead practice witchcraft against them and cause them to do a lot of the things that they did. You were a powerful influence against them instead of being a powerful force of God for them. Let us humble ourselves, and if we have nothing good to say about those in authority over us, zip the lip, shut the mouth, and say nothing at all. Why are you so strong about it? Because I'm trying to save you from a terrible judgment. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be pretty for those who constantly run around speaking against those in authority. It says that God placed those in authority. And when you see wicked people in authority, God placed them there, and it's most likely a result of your sin or other people's sin around you that caused that leader to fall into place. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? Amen. That's the truth. There are a lot of times when the people of Israel or other people were wicked, and as a result, God gave them a wicked leader to oppress them and give them a hard time, because they were reaping what they sowed. Really, God didn't do it. They did it to themselves through sowing and reaping. Their sin caused it to come to pass. Their words caused it to come to pass, the things that they did. But God wants us to pray for those in authority. And if you're not going to do that, at least pray in tongues. What a tremendous blessing that we have. We have the ability to pray God's word over every situation as we pray in tongues. We have praying in tongues is just as supernatural as raising the dead. If I said go lay hands on the people, I give you 100% guarantee they're going to raise from the dead. You'd do it, wouldn't you? If you knew it was going to happen, if you truly believed it. Well, if I gave you a key that is equally as powerful as raising the dead, and I said if you pray in tongues, that you could be raising people from the dead on the other side of the world through that prayer, would you do it? Most people don't want to do it, and the reason that they do not want to do it is because they don't see anything happen, which means that they are more moved by what they see, hear, and feel than what they believe. But if we truly believe, we will step out by faith, and if God's Word says we don't know what to pray for as He ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and He that searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints in accordance with the will of God. And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love Him or are called according to His purpose. If we truly believe that we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all prayers and requests, all types of prayers and requests, Ephesians 6:18. If we truly believe that as we pray in tongues, we'd build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If we truly believe, like Jesus said, that these signs will follow those who believe. Not those who claim to believe, but those who actually believe. He said, in My name they will cast out devils, in My name they will speak in new tongues. Jesus said that in Mark 16:15. If we truly believed God's Word, we would start to act upon His Word. You're fully capable. You're fully capable of not only understanding every word in the Bible because it means what it says, you're fully capable of acting on it. So let's begin to act, amen? Let's begin to do what it says and let's just obey God. I sent out the scripture today, Deuteronomy 28. He gives you all the blessings for obedience. If we will simply obey God wholeheartedly, He will bless us. But so many labor and strive and they will lack sleep and they'll work extra hours trying to get the prosperity and some calamity keeps coming and stealing their finances. And the reason that it does is because they're not fully obedient to God. They try to get ahead and they just keep on barely taking any progression forward when they could have from God His blessing on their finances where they no longer serve money, but money serves them. But instead, people serve their money. Why they do that, it doesn't make any sense to me. Why would we want to do that? Why don't we just serve God and have His blessing? Amen? Let's serve God. God's got great reward for those who serve Him. He's got all sorts of blessings for your finances, for your body, for your family, for your home. He will bless you to a level you never imagined if you'll just simply obey Him. But it takes consistency and it's going to take work. It will not be easy to have that aggressive faith that resists the enemy aggressively. You need to aggressively resist him and take your stand. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, when He created their spirits, He said He wanted them to have dominion and He wanted them to watch over the garden, to keep it, is the word He used. That word keep, what He's talking about is to keep. You know, if I told you to watch over your house and guard your house, you would guard your house, right? Well, God wants us to guard not only our house, but our lives. We need to have our guard up because there's an enemy on the loose that you can't see with your physical eyes and he wants to steal from you. He also wants to kill and destroy in your life. And Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, but we need to aggressively take our stand against him through the name of Jesus. And quit laying down. Don't let him rack your body. Don't take it. Don't listen to. He's going to put strong emotions on you that are going to rack you to your knees if you think that you're going to stand up against him when he comes to destroy your body. But stand back up and fight him relentlessly because he has to stop. And it does work. Brother Hagin did it. Brother Hagin was on his deathbed. The pastor that he was under at the time said, "You're going to die." His parents said, "You're going to die. It's no use praying, you're going to die." Everybody around him told him he was going to die, but he had Mark 11:23 where it said, "You will have whatever you say if you believe." And he stood on one scripture and absolutely refused to lay down and die. And as a result, he went out and preached another 60-some years after that. Amen. Because he refused to lay down for the devil. Stand up and hold up the name of Jesus as a banner. He's your victory. He's your anointing. He's your power. Stand up and use the name of Jesus. Use His authority that He's given you freely to receive the success that He's given you. And it's going to be a fight. But pray to God through the name of Jesus. You know, a lot of times Christians don't. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." A lot of times we don't ask enough. You should walk around all day, "God, help me with this. God, I need that. Help me, help me, help me. I need this, God. Help me with this. I'm struggling with this. God, help me with this." You should walk around all day, every second. As much as you're breathing, you should be asking Him for things. He wants to answer every prayer that you can even think of. You can think of a prayer for 1,000 years. He wants to answer all those prayers just consistently, constantly, every minute of every day. Ask Him for help. Amen? And He will give you that help, but you need to ask. That's what releases Him. So let's obey God. God wants to bless you, but we need to obey God to be blessed. God wants to save you, but we need to obey God to be saved. God wants to heal you, but we need to aggressively fight the devil when he comes up against our bodies so that we can be healed. God wants to protect you, but we need to obey God to be under his hedge of protection. God wants to save your children, but we need to raise them up and train them up in the ways of the Lord so that he can save the children. And they have to obey us. If they're under our household and they're under 18, they have to obey us. Or we're supposed to be disciplining them to some level. We don't want to do anything ridiculous, but you have the authority. And if they won't respond, then we need to pray for them. God will make them obey. If they won't obey their parents, God's got a way to persuade them. And in His love and His mercy, He's going to come in and He will permit certain things to come to pass in their life that will convince them that they need to obey. Amen? Amen.